Welcome to Deception in the Last Days with your host, Randy Shelton. Randy is a member of the Biblical Discernment and Research Center. He has been studying cults and new religious movements for over 30 years. Join Randy as he discerns the deception going on now in the last days.
A series on fake Christian magazines. This was written by T.A. McMahon in the Berean Call. This was actually in the September and the August newsletters, but this particular part two is from the August 2019 newsletter. And I finished off, I couldn't quite finish the article off, so we're going to take up where I left off and jump right in with both feet. all right. Now, we had been speaking about the magazine Charisma. And in that magazine, the promotion of all things charismania, I guess you could say. We'd been speaking about the old word faith, positive confession teachings. And T.A. McMahon was concerned about the new methods of deception that are being used. And that not only are the old guard, people like Kenneth Hagin, Charles Capps, E.W. Kenyon, Smith Wigglesworth, John G. Lake, are included in, for instance, the Bethel Bookstore, Bethel Church in Reading, but then current books by Bill Johnson, Chris Valaton, Heidi Baker, Che On, Randy Clark, and others better known to the millennials and the upcoming generation. You know, he talked about a new tactic that was involved, and you can check that out for yourself. From last week's podcast, because I want to continue on in this article. And so anyway, it says, their heretical examples have filled volumes, especially those of Benny Hinn, Rodney Howard Brown, Mike Bickle, he's from IHOP, of course, the head of IHOP, Bill Johnson, we just mentioned, where were Chan's warnings? And I was speaking about Francis Chan last week and his lack of discernment in partnering together with false teachers who he claims he doesn't believe what they teach, and yet he's an accessory to their heresy by appearing at multiple events and continues to appear at these events without any real apology or repentance to the church in general, and specifically to those who really actually like him and like what he does or whatever. Anyway, were Chan's warnings as a biblical watchman regarding the false teachers and false prophets with whom he shared the stage? And that's a real big thing. As a watchman on the wall, we should all be concerned with those who are guilty of what someone coined that term, an accessory to heresy, you know, because even if they claim and maybe even don't believe the things that are believed by the false teacher, why are they there? Why are they sharing the stage? You know, they're going to do some good by helping to, well, you get the point. I'm repeating myself, but I like that term, accessory to heresy. Anyway, moving on in the article, the doctrinal errors among the speakers, in addition to the false gospel, and this is talking about the speakers at the Send event, Che On of The Call, who, of course, has partnered together with Che On. Did I say? I hope I didn't repeat myself there. But Che On and Bill Engle is the man I wanted to say, if I didn't say his name. Bill Engle of the Send had partnered together with Che On at one time and co-pastored a church, Harvest Rock Church, I believe it was, in Pasadena, actually where I lived out in that area. I was very aware of what was going on with them. Anyway, the doctrinal errors among the speakers of this Send conference that we were talking about last week, in addition to the false gospel, as noted, are numerous and can only lead their followers away from the Word of God. Most of them and the ministries they represent are into kingdom dominionism. And we'll be talking more about that in some future podcasts, and perhaps today we'll scratch the surface on some of that. They believe that God is going to use them to bring about a great end times revival and that Christians will rule the earth prior to the return of Jesus. No, McMahon says, the Bible states that there will be a great tribulation, not a great worldwide revival. The next kingdom, according to the scriptures, is the kingdom of the Antichrist. Kingdom building is a major belief of Bill Johnson and Bethel Church. That fact is made clear in the songs of Jesus culture. Those who buy into these false teachings will be contributing to, albeit unwittingly, the religion and the kingdom of the man of sin, that is, the Antichrist. False teachings run through the entire history of the Pentecostal and charismatic movements, not because the Bible doesn't teach the very critical and necessary work of the Holy Spirit in the lives of every true believer, but because that activity has been distorted and abused by many who seem to endorse the Spirit-filled life. Christianity without the true working of the Holy Spirit is not biblical Christianity. It is vanity. The leaven of false prophecies abounds among many of the sin speakers, of whom Benny Hinn may be chief among them. See the Confusing World of Benny Hinn. This was a book that Kurt Godelman and I, Richard Fisher, I believe, both joined their efforts in that book, and also in the following DVDs and such. The Confusing World of Benny Hinn. Fake healings at his meetings are well known. The young leaders of the sin emulate their leaders, their elders, including Michael Koulianis, who is Hinn's son-in-law. Todd White claimed to have a word from the Lord that a healing was going to take place among all those in the crowd who had physical scars and needle tracks from past drug use. God, he claimed, was going to remove the scars and needle marks as he spoke. After what seemed like an endless harangue for God to heal and a besieging of the audience for proof of God's healing, no one manifested what White had declared. Another article in the May 2019 issue of Charisma was related to the claim that God was bringing about revival throughout the world. The article was titled, God is Shaking Europe. We're told hundreds of thousands of people in Europe are beginning to respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ through massive evangelization efforts. Sounds really good, but we need to be Bereans and discern which gospel is being preached and by whom. The leader of the Awakening Europe is Ben Fitzgerald, a former pastor from Bethel Church. The article notes that numerous houses of prayer, similar to the International House of Prayer, or IHOP, in Kansas City, Missouri, have spread to most major European cities. IHOP's beginnings were steeped in the beliefs and spiritual abuses of the Kansas City prophets, yet a leader of the European IHOP comments that the growth is driven by the next generation. The younger generation loves worship and is drawn to real Spirit-filled worship. And I might add, not only are there what I call franchises of IHOP, and I'm not talking about the pancake place, of course, but, you know, when this article talks about so many of these houses of prayer being spread among to most major European cities, well, of course, they're being spread throughout the U.S. as well, and there's one in my hometown. And that's a nice segue into the next thing that I wanted to share. At the local franchise of IHOP, they have been on Thursday nights journey with us through IHOP's Kansas City's freshly recorded history every Thursday evening beginning at 7 p.m. through January and February. We will start with a short time of worship and move right into viewing. You'll be encouraged to light the fire again, pray again, dive into the prophetic again. And, of course, they're not talking about studying Bible prophecy, but they're talking about their own excesses and false prophecies, etc. And to be a watchman on the wall for your city. And I wrote a little note there in the corner. If only they were watchmen. If only they were watching out for their city. If only they were true watchmen on the wall against spiritual dangers. Be a part of the family of affection that God is raising up, those who will partner with his heart to make history and see his glory cover the earth. And this is an event that's been taking place. And I have not, I went over one night and it looked like, I don't know if it was canceled or what happened. Normally I like to sit in on these events. Don't ask me why. They're usually quite awkward. but this particular evening, it looked like nothing was going on. I mean, I didn't see anything organized happening. So I turned back home and I thought, you know what, I'll just get the notifications through email of their synopsis or their recap from each week of this history of IHOP. And I wanted to comment earlier that this local franchise of IHOP, you know, they're not making pancakes, but they're hauling in the bread, okay? So there we go. I had to get that in and I forgot it. But, you know, you have to have a little comedy relief in the midst of all the madness, I think. But trust me, I am quite serious about these topics and want to warn you that it's not a light thing. Sometimes comic relief can be a good thing, though. So the first week, the recap from the first week, you know, they use that term, the international family of affection. God is building an international family of affection. Of course, we just read in the article by Mr. McMahon that they have spread into Europe, into a lot of the major cities. So there you have the international family of affection. I have to say, as an old school cults student of the cults, and having followed so many for so many years, I couldn't help but think of the Children of God, who was the group during the Jesus movement that rose up and kind of was like a barnacle on the back of the Jesus movement, because they were heretical and they followed a false prophet. Moses David Berg, he called himself. And they, of course, were involved in all kinds of horrible things and ultimately changed their name. So they actually had an alias for their group, I suppose you could say, called the Family of Love. I think they renamed themselves again. They rebranded themselves on more than one occasion. But I couldn't help but I'm not saying that they have the same teachings. I will say that there was false prophecy involved in Children of God, just as there is in IHOP, as well as false teachings. Just a different assortment, I suppose. But just hearing that termed as that they're terming themselves the International Family of Affection. Okay, I think. Family of Love, Children of God. Anyway, God is building an international family of affection fueled by prophetic revelation, who will contend for his plans and purposes on behalf of Israel as we near the return of his son. This past week, in the first session of IHOP Kansas City's prophetic history, we heard God's sovereign call over the Midwest to be a catalyst of intercession and prophecy that will touch the nations. We learned about two prophetic voices, Bob Jones and Paul Kane. And Bob Jones, by the way, has nothing to do with Bob Jones University in South Carolina. These two had a significant impact to help raise up a people who would be part of an army of intercession found in Joel 2, called Joel's Army. Now, before I read on, other names for Joel's Army, if you run across these names, you know, run, run, you know, run for the hills. The New Apostolic Reformation, of course, is the big umbrella group that so many of these groups, like the Call and the Send and IHOP, are under. So you hear Joel's Army, think New Apostolic Reformation. Also think Fivefold Ministries, and I'll get into that later, if not tonight in another podcast. Kingdom Now, as opposed to Kingdom Later, I suppose. That's my little note there, the term Kingdom Now. As opposed to, you know, Christ bringing the kingdom when he comes, is why I put that little tongue-in-cheek there. The Latter Rain Movement and Dominion Theology, they all are pretty synonymous names. So if you see any of those names, including Joel's Army and the ones I just named, recognize you're dealing with severe spiritual danger and false teaching. Actually, Paul, the apostle, I believe, would call folks like these false brethren. And there are many false brethren, we know, and as the apostasy of the end times continues to grow exponentially, I'm sure we're going to see more and more false brethren. But which is not to say that these folks can't come to know the truth or can't be delivered from the kingdom of darkness that they are in. But we have the task of being watchmen on the wall, speaking the truth in love. And if they try to shoot the messenger, just expect that that's going to happen, but continue to hold to the truth that's found in God's word and not in the revelations and the experiences of men and women who claim to be apostles or prophets or what have you. Now, concerning Bob Jones and Paul Kane, I won't go into a lot of documentation here, but I will say that you can go to a variety of sites, but you can go to Deception in the Church. You can go to Let Us Reason. I know Jackie Alnor and many have done a lot of research on a lot of these different people, specifically, I mean, in general, but specifically Paul Kane and Bob Jones. Before I did the podcast tonight, I went to the website to Let Us Reason and to Deception in the Church, and sure enough, of course, they had a lot of articles, a lot of information written about Paul Kane and Bob Jones. And I wanted to confirm what I already knew, and that is that they were both false prophets. They're both also dead. But that, you know, when you hear that the IHOP, one of the things in their name, and that'll be as I read, you know, I'm reading each week, and I have up to 4 weeks of the history of IHOP. I'll just look at that right now, the second week coming up, the second session. God detailed four values the church must set their hearts to walk in over the decades to prepare it for the days ahead: intercession, holiness, extravagant offerings to the poor, and a prophetic lifestyle. And that, of course, those words create the IHOP logo there, IHOP, intercession, holiness, offerings to the poor, and a prophetic lifestyle. And of course, holiness, you know, check out Bob Jones and Paul Kane. Again, it's all been documented. It's, you know, I'm just not blowing steam here or what have you. You know, not only were they false prophets, but Paul Kane was homosexual, and Bob Jones had a lot of sexual immorality when he was involved with the Vineyard movement. In fact, they kicked him out, I understand, for that. You know, there's just a real problem. You know, you read 2 Peter and the warning of the false teachers and prophets in the last days, and how they're going to make merchandise of God's people and just the godlessness of their lives. But, you know, here IHOP's somehow wanting to claim that one of their big motivations is holiness. So it's more like experiential madness, really. Anyway, the rest of this recap from the first week of the history that was sent out from the local IHOP franchise is, it goes on to say, the promises and prophecies confirmed by signs and wonders through these accurate prophetic voices were not just for their generation, but for the generations to come, that we will be encouraged to persevere in intercession to see God's purposes accomplished in the earth. Well, since these prophetic voices are claiming to be actual prophets for today, not just that they have a gift of prophecy or something, but they're prophets, okay? Since they're making those claims, I believe that the distinction for a true prophet is still 100% accuracy to protect. You know, I don't believe there are true prophets, so-called, or apostles today, and we'll get into that later. But even though there may be prophecy that God speaks, and certainly is there prophecy in the exhorting of God's word. Nevertheless. If somebody's saying, hey, this guy's a prophet or an apostle, and you need to follow him and really just do what he says, basically, and follow the cult leader, so to speak, you know, they better be 100% accurate if they're calling themselves a prophet, in my opinion. And I believe in God's word, I think, because that's a protection for us, right? If you're saying, I'm a prophet, so you better do what I say and see there, because I'm a prophet of God. And then they say, oops, I guess I was incorrect on that one. Well, that's not good, and very spiritually dangerous. Anyway, I don't want to belabor that much longer, because I'll be laboring it much later, much longer, much later. Anyway, so these are the two guys here that are named right up front. We learned about these two prophetic voices. These accurate prophetic voices were not just for their generation, but for the generations to come. See what's being said about them. Like, these are real prophets, folks. It's not just for this generation, but even, you know, just like the ones in the Bible, right? No. Anyway, it says that we will be encouraged to persevere in intercession to see God's purposes accomplished in the earth. Okay, now, the second recap that I have here, and again, this is a short synopsis that I'm sharing with you here. Session 2 of IHOP KC's prophetic history highlights great change and revival coming to the church. In 1982, the Lord spoke to Mike Bickle, saying, I will change the understanding and expression of Christianity in the earth in one generation. And I'll tell you, I think, you know, whenever you talk about cultic or liberal theology, you have a little method called redefining biblical or theological terms, And this kind of, to me, expresses that I will change the understanding and expression of Christianity in the earth in one generation. Why? Why would you want to change something that God gave us, 2,000 years ago in the New Testament? It's branded right there for everyone to read and to know. And in fact, at this point, let me just read the full quote. And this is from Wandering Stars by Keith Gibson and his treatment of the whole New Apostolic Reformation and the Apostles and Prophets and whatnot. This is the full quote from Mike Bickle. I heard what I call the internal audible voice of the Lord. It was as clear as crystal. I heard the actual words. There was no guesswork. It was not impressions. It was the word of the Lord came to me. And the Lord said this, I'm going to change the understanding and expression of Christianity in the whole world in one generation. Mike Bickle. Well, now, how many times have we heard of somebody claiming to hear the audible voice of the Lord and coming up with a new gospel, a new Jesus, a different gospel, a different spirit? Very much, very dangerous, folks, is a very dangerous situation. So going on into this second week's recap, it says the way the church expresses itself in holy living and the perception it has amongst unbelievers will change in one generation. On many occasions, Paul Cain saw visions of the stadiums of the earth filled with signs, miracles, and wonders released as never before. See, there again, claiming to be a prophet or an apostle in this day and age. Well, in the New Testament, there were special signs and miracles and wonders that were taking place through the hands of Paul and Peter because they really were apostles. You know, they were true apostles. These are lying signs and wonders from false prophets and false apostles. Anyway, and this, of course, is dangerous in the times we live on because of the emphasis on the experiential over sound doctrine from God's word. Once delivered to the saints, the faith, once delivered for the saints. Mike also recounted a three-part prophetic dream Paul had, two parts of which have been fulfilled, which gives us confidence the third part will be fulfilled in God's timing. Okay? God detailed four values of the church, and I read this before. Four values must set their hearts to walk in over decades to be prepared for the days of intercession, holiness, give extravagant offerings to the poor, and a prophetic lifestyle, IHOP. These four values would be challenged by well-meaning believers, but the Lord was intent to hold these values in high regard. What the Lord wants to do, according to his word in Romans chapter 8, he wants to conform us into the image of his Son. He doesn't want to recreate some new, different Christianity emphasize things that are not necessarily... Sure, God wants us to pray. He wants us to be holy. But what is a prophetic lifestyle? I don't even know what that means. I'll get into that in the next recap. But God wants to conform us into the image of Christ. He wants us to preach the true gospel, and he wants us to defend the faith once delivered to the saints, to the true faith, not this bogus stuff that's being pushed out by the New Apostolic Reformation folks and the IHOP folks. Now, this is session three. In 1983, the Lord used Bob Jones as a prophetic voice confirming five significant prophecies with signs in the heavens to release the understanding that God would begin a youth movement from Kansas City that would touch the ends of the earth. On May 7, 1983, Mike and a band of intercessors held a sovereignly signed Solomon Assembly of 21 days prayer and fasting seeking God for revival. What they didn't understand was God wanted to not just release revival in Kansas City, but to birth a youth movement of prayer and intercession that would be instrumental in the spiritual awakening of the nation of Israel. And my little comment is, right, God needs their help for spiritual awakening for Israel. You know, actually, the time of Jacob's trouble is going to be required. The tribulation is what's going to bring the remnant of Israel to the realization that Christ was the true Messiah. It's not going to be brought about by a group of false prophets that started out in Kansas City, Missouri. Just as God used Harry S. Truman to reestablish the physical nation of Israel in 1948, God would use this youth movement to intercede for Israel's spiritual awakening. So I guess us old folks praying for Israel doesn't count. I don't know. During the Solemn Assembly, Mike specifically heard God promise. Remember, Mike hears things. He hears that you know, that inaudible voice, or audible voice, I suppose, in some occasions, if I read that quote right. Let's see, was it the internal audible voice? Well, I don't even know what that means. That's kind of confusing. Is it internal or is it audible? I don't know. I always thought audible was out loud. Anyway, such contradictions. Mike specifically heard God promise the establishing of 24/7 prayer in the spirit of the tabernacle of David. And by the way, that's another reason that they try to promote themselves as being this special thing. Like, does your church have a 24/7, you know, prayer group? Well, no, I guess. Does the Bible tell us we need to have a prayer group going 24/7? It says praying always, you know. You know, I don't pray while I'm sleeping. But anyway, so this is what they say legitimizes them as well. It's like, well, your church doesn't matter. You know, we're special. You know, we're like a cult. I just inserted that. Mike specifically heard God promise of establishing a 24/7 prayer in the spirit of the tabernacle of David, and that no disease known to man would stand before God's people in the coming days. What does that mean? What does that mean? No disease known to man would stand before God's people in the coming days. I still don't know what that means. I've read it two or three times, and I don't know what that means. No disease known to man would stand before God. No disease. So all the diseases are gone for all of God's people, or just that group? Or I don't get it. Anyway, Mike held these promises in prayer, but 16 years later, in 1999, God spoke to Mike through other prophetic voices in Haggai 2, that it was time to begin the house of prayer. The building, finances, and leaders came miraculously, and IHOP began September 7th, 1999, and has not ceased in 24/7 prayer since. And I visited up there several times. Now, I don't think I'm going to have time, or I might. Let's take a shot at it. This is the fourth session. In 1984, Bob Jones saw a vision of the Lord being exalted by young leaders in a procession. God would raise up these young people, anointing them with power. Many healed by their ministry followed as they walked on the highway of holiness. Bob said the Lord would allow Mike to stand before him and see these future leaders. The Lord required that they lift nothing higher than him. In Mike's encounter, the Lord repeated, "Young man, if you are impatient, you will cause great harm and much turmoil to many peoples." Well, I don't know if he was patient or not, but he's caused a lot of turmoil that's resulted from these false prophets. Finally, Mike has witnessed many accept these values, but persevere 5 to 7 years before drifting, becoming busier, older, and wealthier. So they've strayed from the IHOP faith. In 1979, Bob's vision of leaders sticking their hands in the sand by the sea, pulling up empty boxes, indicated the promises weren't for their generation. Bob pulled up a box full of draft notices, indicating the Lord was drafting officers into his army all over the world, and told Bob that in the next generation, he would bring forth the best of many family lines to represent his son in the end times. And that's probably the millennials, and that's probably the send, and that's probably the danger that we see here. And I'm out of time, so I hope you'll join us next week. God bless you all. Good night.